Blog Talk Radio. Para Women Radio. No silly girl talk about makeup or clothes. No, these dark darlings talk about the bizarre, the strange, and the supernatural with other extraordinary women in the paranormal. Join our chat moderated by Shannon Overland. And now, here they are, Amy Williamson and Beverly Van Pelt, the Gothic Gourmet.
Good evening. Welcome to Para Women Scream Radio. It is Thursday, July 15th. I'm Amy. Tonight we have a great show for you. We have guest host Jess Dion joining us. Shannon Overland. Hey, Jess. Shannon Overland's going to be joining us with an extended, supersized version of the Para World News. We've got big, big talks, big doings, big announcements going on tonight. So Jess and I are just going to kind of sit back and chitty-chat and also let the audience get to know us a little bit, and we're going to be divulging some top-secret information. And like I said, we're going to be having Shannon Overland come on. We're going to play some good music. It's going to be a fantastic evening. Hey, Jess, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I've had a great day.
That's good.
Did some
That's always
shopping.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I'm a shopper, and I did some shopping.
Oh, jealous. I stayed at home all day, but I guess it's a good thing.
You didn't have to go out and hit the pavement and deliver the mail?
Oh, I do that every day, but actually stayed home afterwards for once all week. We've been out every day this week, so staying home was great. And caught up on a lot of stuff I needed to do at home.
It's a scorcher here in Michigan. I mean, it was like 98 degrees. It was horrible.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's normal for us down here. It was probably about the same here, but that's normal. Well, in North Carolina, it's hot and humid all summer long, and I want out.
I hate it. I hate it. Everyone's like, how do you like your summer so far? And I'm like, I hate it. I live for the fall and the winter and the spring. I hate summer. I'm not a summer girl.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree there. I cannot do heat. I'm trying to get up to even New England. I want to move to New England. And even up there, it's 95 plus up there, too. So we're all just going to have to
in the summer
sweat it out,
time,
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know
anywhere.
Well,
it's not usually that.
Oh, and,
usually,
you know, and it's cold in California, which is so strange.
I'm jealous. We'll just have to go out there.
We're going to California in November, which I am
very
excited about. Yes. We try to go once a year, and we haven't been the last. We go to Hollywood. Well, actually, we go around the Hollywood area, but my husband's father lives in, El Chupacabra. One of those. something. I can't think of the name of it. But it's like, it's in the desert, but it's probably like maybe like an hour and a half outside of Hollywood. So we usually go visit him and Rialto, that's what it's called. And then we go and stay on the strip and get our tattoos done. And I'm hoping that I can do an investigation out there and also meet up with some of the scream queens that I've become acquainted with through the radio show, like Michelle Tomlinson, Leah Savoli, Heidi Martinez. So hopefully we can get some kind of investigation / horror thing going on.
Awesome. That sounds like it would be awesome. I've been to California once, and I want to go back. It was nice. I really liked it.
What did you go for?
My aunt used to live out in Huntington Beach, So we went out to visit her, and we spent Christmas out there in a cottage in wherever the ski resort is by there, like an hour away. Bear Mountain? I don't know. I can't remember what it was called, but...
Yeah, we actually, the last time we went, we stayed on Bear Mountain. It's a ski resort, and my mom has a timeshare for a condo, but we went in August. Very beautiful. And, you know, a weird thing that we went up to the, actually, where the ski thing, it was up the ski, I don't know, when it's empty, what's it called? When it's the mountain, up further in the mountain, and I swear I saw, like, we saw a dwelling, and I'm like, hey, that could be, like, a Bigfoot dwelling. It was, like, And then the next thing I know, I have a picture, and I'll show it to Eric, where you see my little foot, and Ian tromped across it, but there's this huge footprint. Like, it's, like, enormous, gigantic footprint. And, of course, it was marked by Ian just walking around, my husband. But you can see where it could have easily been a dwelling for a Bigfoot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
That's definitely cool.
That's Eric's thing. I'd probably run away screaming like a little girl. And then I'd get upset because I got a tick on me.
Too. I love the Bigfoot as well.
He's into anything. He wants to find the New Jersey Devil. That's his biggest thing.
Jersey Devil? I'm more of a Bigfoot. I'd like to go on a Bigfoot hunt.
I could do it. You just have to have lots of bug spray. I cannot.
What is your
woods.
Uh-huh.
I love the woods.
Yeah,
but
bug
I can't
spray.
I get eaten alive, and I end up with like 20 ticks on me every time I go, so...
Ticks.
It stopped.
We had
an incident with that with the family. They went geocaching, and the kids ended up, well, my daughter ended up with a tick on her, and Eric ended up with two on him, and they haven't been since.
Well, I had a tick on me this year. I don't know where we had been. Oh, we went out mushroom hunting, and I was sitting in the car, and there was a tick on me, and I freaked out. I don't like ticks.
Oh, me neither. I can't do them. They freak me out. There's a lot of bugs up there to deal with. Yeah.
Ticks, ants, and roaches. I don't like any of those.
No. Ants, though?
Actually,
ants are
dead. Yeah, I have bad dreams about ants. Like, I've had dreams, like, where millions of them are swarming underneath my bed.
Oh. Yeah, that would bother me.
Get a dream analysis on there and tell me what that means. Because I'm really good at usually analyzing dreams, but I can't analyze my own. Like, I would, like, break it down, like, well, ants have to do with patience and moving the sands of time. But what does it mean when a million of them are swarming underneath your bed while you're sleeping? I don't know.
Anxiety, maybe?
Anxiety about...
That's the feeling I get. Well, being if you have a million of them, it's definitely going to be a threatening feeling, but it's not necessarily on you or stopping you in any way, but being under the bed. It's supposed to be a place of relaxation, but then you're not able to leave, so it's kind of a trapping feeling.
Yeah. Well, and with ants, usually when there's one, there's more. There's like tons more where that one came from.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We have those sugar ants, and every year we have to figure out their new spot that they can get into the house and put a stop to it.
We've been having these huge, big carpenter ants, and I'm like, ooh, I do a little dance after I kill them. I'm like, because they just, like, splat, like the biggest splat possible.
Oh, yeah.
So if you had to pick a cryptozoological animal that you would go after, what would you be interested in?
I think I'd be interested in the chupacabra because it's a really fun word. And I'm still so on the fence of what people are seeing. It looks so much like a dog, but it doesn't. I don't know. It would be interesting to try and find one myself to see if there was something, to see if it is actually a cryptid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my theory. My theory on the El Chupacabra is it's going to be the first crypto animal that will be actually recognized as a true species, because there's so many of them and so many sightings, and they're actually getting like carcasses that I really feel like that's going to be the one that's going to be recognized as a true species.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it definitely exists. It's just a matter of where did it come from and what is it? It's more the intrigue of finding if it is actually a species of a dog, or if it is a different actual species that just looks like a dog.
Or it's a mutation of something, but it's definitely a ground-dwelling animal. And maybe that's why we haven't found it, because it dwells in the ground, and it's nocturnal.
Yeah, that could definitely be it. But that I don't know. There's enough evidence, I think, to say it's there, which it's getting close. And as Eric put it, he's really big into cryptozoology. You know, a lot of things 50 years ago were cryptids that are readily known and available nowadays that we don't even bat an eye at. You know, the giant squid and all the other things that people saw in the sea, but they really weren't that out there. People just hadn't seen them yet, so therefore they were legends and they were just stories at that point, and nobody ever thought they'd see a giant squid, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, in the ocean, I mean, I see on my news feed, you know, every so often, like, they found a new animal in the ocean. Like, the ocean is so vast that there's so many, I think, you know, like, in this day and age, everyone's like, oh, how could there be undiscovered animals? And I just really think that there could and there is.
Yeah.
Especially in the ocean.
Yeah, they would be ignorant to say just because you haven't seen it or discovered it, yes, it isn't. There isn't anything else to be discovered on this earth. There's so much.
Yeah.
Especially the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean especially. Because I think just like last week I saw some kind of like little squid-looking thing that they've officially named. I didn't read the whole article, but they've officially said, you know, they found a new creature in the sea. So.
That would be interesting.
So, do you have anything exciting coming up? Any conferences or anything like that that you're going to be doing?
We're trying our hardest. With the economy the way it is, we have an event out in Charlotte, August 13th? The weekend of that. The 13th, 14th, 15th, I think. And then we're going to be doing Dragon Con in September, which I'm super excited about.
The conference before that, what is that? Is it like a paranormal conference? Or?
Eric told me about it this morning, and I can't remember the name of it, which makes me feel really horrible because I should know. I've known the name of it for months, and for some reason it's not coming to my brain right now. I know it's in Charlotte, and I know a lot. I know, like, John Zappas is going to be there, and Bishop Long, and there's a lot of really cool people going to be there. I can't remember what it's called. It'll hit me in the middle of the show when I'm not thinking about it anymore.
Shout it out.
But my brain froze, Middle of the sentence, I'll just be like, yeah, that's it. But
you're going to Dragon Con, so that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. It'll be our third time going. It's probably going to be more crowded than ever.
Probably so. I'm very jealous about Dragon Con.
It's extremely fun. It's called Phantom Con, and it's in Hickory, North Carolina.
Phantom.
Eric told me.
be attending
so, yeah,
it, or are you speaking at it?
I think we're just attending it, because it kind of got to last minute. I don't know. I think it was still, like, in negotiations, and we were kind of on the fence, because once money got a little bit tighter, we didn't want to be like, okay, well, we're going to speak and then not show. So it's kind of riding. We're seeing where it can go, and now it's getting close. We're seeing if we can get the time and babysitting and money to get out there. I'd love to go, but with Dragon Con, there was so much planning involved and so much money being that timing. Because
well,
Dragon Con's not
cheap. Dragon Con's huge, so.
Yes.
For me, that would be my priority. Although that other one sounds pretty cool, too, with the people that you mentioned that are going to be there.
Yeah, and I'd love to go. It's just with reservations with the hotel room and stuff like that, it does get quite pricey at Dragon Con. And where some of them you can get, like, accommodations and stuff, Dragon Con doesn't generally do that. Unless you're the big, big dog. We had already bought the hotel room and it was already ready, so oh well, we're staying. It'll be well worth it. You don't
definitely
sleep for space.
Definitely, I'll be knee deep in directing Bram Stoker's Dracula in September. I'm doing auditions. I start on Sunday. And then the following Friday, and then, like, a week later, we begin rehearsal. So, and we're not going to be able to get into the theater until, when is it? Until mid-August, I think. So, I think this is kind of funny, but we're going to be rehearsing at a church for the Dracula until we can get into the theater because they're doing Bye Bye Birdie. And so I'm pretty excited about that. And we hung up posters, and I'm already getting there's a lot of buzz. So I'm really excited about it. And I had a feeling that Dracula, because, you know, vampires are so hot right now, that it would go over well. But I live in a very conservative town, so I was a little bit worried about it. But I'm starting to relax somewhat.
Awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, Bram Stoker is like, it's not the sparkly, glittery vampire that, you know, it's the evil, down and dirty.
The real deal.
Yeah, it's like the
sparkly type.
There's actually two roles for the vampire. For Dracula, there's one where you actually cast the monster, and then there's actually the other one where you cast the actual Dracula. So there's two roles for two separate people are going to be playing Dracula, one the monster, one, yeah. So it's I'm pretty excited about that, and I'm getting ready to do that. And then my husband and I, we're going to the Canadian-American Paracon August 6th and 7th. Yeah, and Sarnia, and I'm going to be speaking on Victorian women who haunt, including, it's going to include, like, death rites, post-mortem photography, Victorian funerals, graveyards, and symbolisms, and a whole bunch of other stuff, so everything, like, morbid and that relates to the Victorians I'm going to be talking about.
Awesome.
Yeah, that leads into the annual Victorian Haunting Experience, the third annual. I've been speaking with two places this week, and we're just kind of like finalizing the location. So I'm really excited about that. We've been doing it for 3 years straight. I don't want people to be fooled by imposters, because there are a few out there that are trying to capitalize on the, you know, my coattails. And I just want people to know that I've been doing it for 3 years, and I'm really excited about it. And I've been invited to a few libraries to be big libraries, too, like not just little rural libraries, like big city libraries, to give the same lecture. So I'm really excited about it. Yeah.
That's an
and
awesome subject.
It is an awesome subject, and I'm actually teaming up with another person, and we're going to do a little spin-off of the Fox sisters. We're going to be doing like the Fox siblings, and we're going to be giving lectures in that capacity. So I'm really excited about it and the possibilities, and I have my own events kind of business, and it's called A Haunting Experience. And if anyone's interested, they can go to www.ahauntingexperience.org, and there'll be all the events. It's not updated right now, but it'll be all the events that we're going to be doing under that event company. So I'm excited.
That sounds like a great time. I wish I lived up there. I'd be doing all that.
Well, yeah, and Michigan is like bursting at the seams for, you know, like events and things like that. And I'm a little flabbergasted because, like, I mean, like the Victorian haunting, it's like a pretty unique thing. And like, but Michigan isn't that huge of a state for someone that wants to be doing it as well. You know, like, is like how many Victorian hauntings can one state hold, really? So I would understand if you were in a different state and you wanted to do it, but, or if you're in a different state and you want to hire me to come and do it, I'm okay with that. But it's just like, you know, there's just so many venues and ideas out there that it just, you know, that I think that there's enough prosperity in this world that we can all succeed at what we're doing, and if you, you know, if you're good at something, then do it, but don't mimic and copy other people. I think that's
lame. Agree. I definitely agree there. I think there's enough.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many aspects to life, and you don't have to. What fun is it? What do you really learn when you just learn from somebody else and copy them?
Yeah. Well, I think some people just see dollar signs. You know, they're like, oh,
that's,
you know.
That's very true.
Neat.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which,
but,
I
wanted to say, what? You want to do it?
I'll be broke the rest of my life because I can't do that.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's so uncool. But also, if you're interested in actually coming to the Canadian American Paracon, I did see that the tickets are selling out pretty quickly. If you want to buy them, purchase them, you can go to www.canamparacon.com. It's canamparacon.com. On Friday, we're going to be investigating a haunted location, and we're also going to be having like a cocktail hour where you can kind of meet and greet the speakers that are going to be there, which there's an exciting person that I can't wait to meet. His name is Aaron Houdini, and he's the only living Houdini in the world. Yeah. I'm, like, really excited about that. And people that are in the steampunk
I heard he
arena,
was super cool, too.
Did you hear that? I haven't heard anything about him.
I can't remember who it was. It was Chris Deadman. It might have been Chris Deadman is the first person that comes to my mind, but do not quote me because I am not positive. I think it was, though. I think there was Scarefest or one of the events he had been to, he said he met him and that he was a really, really cool guy.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to meet him. I'm really excited, and I know, like, people that are, like, into steampunk because, you know, Houdini was really into the Victorian era, and he desperately wanted to believe and spiritualism, but he saw so many of the psychics doing all, you know, these tricks, and that's actually how he learned a lot of his magical tricks. Was he would go to seances and watch the mediums do all their little, you know, tricks and hoodoo and pageantry, and he kind of like honed that and made it into a magical act. So I'm really excited because, you know, not only am I interested in the Victorian era, but, like, he's, like, a descendant of Houdini.
Yeah. That's awesome in itself. That's just, that makes him incredible just by default.
Yeah.
I actually saw, speaking on the subject of like, debunking things, have you ever seen, I think it's on Sci-Fi, actually. a guy by the name of Keith Barry, and he's a mentalist. He's kind of like Darren Brown. They're both English. And he goes on the street and basically can, quote unquote, he doesn't read people's minds. He just reads their body language and can literally predict their behavior well enough to be able to look like he's reading their mind, but he's not.
I have seen that. I've seen that show. It was on briefly. It didn't last very long, but I have seen that show.
Yeah, I just saw it last night for the first time, and I was
blown
away.
It's on still? Maybe it changed networks.
Maybe it was a repeat?
I don't know.
It only came on the one time, and it didn't say it was new. I just happened to catch it. I was blown away. Between him and Darren Brown, they blow my mind. Just on being able to take the... It's not so much to say that people out there are frauds and that every psychic... I definitely believe in the ability to be psychic and things that can't be explained. It's just a matter of, like you said, the people with the dollar signs in their eyes that do it and think they can get away with putting out some general statement and passing that off as a reading and charging $100 for an hour. And people pay that because they lost somebody very close to them and they're grieving. And then they just got taken. And
well, the amounts that some psychics charge is just, like, outrageous, you know? Like, I can't believe some people pay that amount. I just can't.
I know. And then even for the people that are legit psychics that really are trying to do it for the right reason, but they want to do it on the side, and they don't want to charge a lot, but if you charge $20, people think you're a fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't charge a lot.
And there's another thing that you're... Yeah, and there's another thing that irritates me. They call themselves life coaches or advisors. And
like workers.
It's like, you don't have a degree. You know, if you had a degree, then maybe I would agree with you charging that little extra and putting that little title on you. But if you don't have a degree, I don't think you need to be calling yourself that.
Exactly.
Really against that.
Yeah. We have a friend that she's a PhD in psychology. She does therapy. She does herbal medicine, but she's certified and has the degrees to do all this stuff. And she had gone... She went to Switzerland, I believe she just got back about 2 weeks ago, but to do some lectures and conferences and stuff there. And she got back and told me almost word for word what you just said. She was just like, I really, really want to go on a rant about how people really need to be certified or they need to have some sort of a license to say that they're all these different things.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they can get away with that. And I know, like, there have been some law court cases where people who have claimed to be this and then the person, like, ends up committing suicide or doing something, and they're liable. I mean, so I would be very careful if I were someone out there and didn't have a degree and was calling myself all those things.
Yeah.
Because I have a degree.
You're playing with somebody's life.
Yeah, I have a degree in sociology, and I also have my CAC, and I don't even go out there and call my, you know, self, you know, I am a therapist, but I don't go out there and call myself a life coach, or, like, if I'd consider being a life coach, but I would train under someone, and I would get that degree. I would never just, like, all of a sudden pop out and say, hey, I'm a life coach, look at me, you know?
That's just not
crazy.
But then when people really take you seriously.
Person, they really do, and they think, well, this person, you know, called themselves this and this, and, you know, and they seem to know me, you know, and know what I'm thinking, so they must be legit. So, yeah. It's scary.
It is.
Another person that I'm excited to see at the Paracon is Keith Age. I haven't seen
him. Oh, I love
him.
Keith Age.
Yeah, and I haven't seen him since last year, and I know he had that little bit of a health scare, so I'm really excited to see him. And, of course, Robbie Thomas, I'm happy to see. And Michael Esposito, I talked to him briefly last year, but I didn't really get to know him that well. So that should be cool. And David Foltz. So I'm really excited about that. Hey, Jess, we're going to go into some music. And
that
when we come
great.
Back, we have an extended supersized version of the Pair World News. So we'll have the very lovely Shannon Overland joining us. What kind of music are you in the mood for, Jess?
Something motivating.
Motivating?
Yes.
Motivating.
And
okay.
Positive.
Positive and motivating. Let's see. Okay. Positive and motivating. So we're going to actually have some cheery music. We'll go into Jack Montgomery and how about the Leprechaun on Pair Women Scream Radio with Amy Williamson and Jess Dion.
When moonlit night, the leprechaun might fly. In a scarlet coat, a cap of green, a crook shin by his side. 'Twas tick-tack-tick, his hammer went upon the weenie shoe. And I laughed to think of a purse of gold the fairy was a-laughing too. The fairy was a-laughing too. I drew nigh. There was mischief in his merry face, a twinkle in his eye. He hammered and sang with a tiny voice and sipped the mountain dew. I laughed to think he was caught at last, but the fairy was a laughing too. The fairy was a laughing too. Night and day they sport and play, not one step left to chance. For the good folk know that beyond what shows, 'tis all a spiral dance. 'Tis all a spiral dance.
Beverly, for the very best of paranormal, sci-fi, and horror.
See your garden grow.
that was Kelly Anna and the Return of the Sun on Parawoman Scream Radio. I'm Amy, and with me I have Jess. Shannon Overland is going to be joining us in just a momento for the Paraworld News. I want to remind everyone that we have an announcement. Announcements. That was actually what we would do in, when I was a Girl Scout leader at a camp. When we were going to do announcements, we would sing that. So it's always in my head when I say announcements. But we do have an announcement, and we're going to make it right after the Paraworld News. So don't go anywhere if you're interested in hearing the big news. Hello, Shannon.
Hello, Amy. Hi, Jess. How are you guys?
Great. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm doing fabulous. Got out of work a little early today because we had a 15-minute thunderstorm that looked more like a hurricane, and we lost power. So about half hour before we normally would get out, we got to leave early. So that was fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good day when that happens. We're about to get the storm. It's coming this way. The skies are getting darker.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing we have a shorter show on tonight, because I'd hate for you to lose power in the middle of a show.
I know, and that's kind of why we have a shorter show. And plus, because of the announcement, we have the shorter show. So.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't I get right on with my Paraworld news so then we can hear the wonderful announcement.
Okay.
Well, my first story kind of goes along with what you girls were talking about earlier in the show. And then also Brian in the chat room, Brian of Kabbalah, was talking about it. But it takes place in Texas. Richard and Naomi West are pleading with the people of Texas, please stop killing the blue dogs. They just returned from a week. They just returned from a week-long trip collecting pictures and video of this virtually unknown creature. Their goal was to prove that this strange blue-skinned animal is a very interesting member of the dog family, but has nothing to do with the legend of El Chupacabra. Apparently, a severe case of mange is running rampant through Texas, which can cause a coyote or fox to lose all of its hair, sometimes leaving just a strip along the back. And without the fur to protect its skin, the coyote is exposed to sun and elements that can give them a blue or blue-black appearance over time. So the sickness can also cause the animal to act strangely. And once it died from the mange, the animal's skin pulls back, giving it the appearance of larger teeth than normal. So experts are stating that there have been way too many sightings of these kind of creatures for them to simply be coyotes with mange, and they think that it might be just a strange hybrid or possibly a new species, but it has nothing to do with El Chupacabra.
Nothing whatsoever to do with it.
Well, that's what they say. You know, I try to be, you know, I do my El Chupacabra stories. You know,
yeah.
And so I'm trying to take the other side today. And Brian made some really good points in the chat room earlier. And so I don't know what to think about it. I mean, I love El Chupacabra. I love the legend. And, you know, before these dogs started showing up, I always thought that El Chupacabra was more reptilian, like a big. And now, you know, all these little dogs are showing up, and they're saying, that's El Chupacabra. And I thought, what? Well, maybe. But,
well, you know, the original reports, when the witnesses would draw it, it looked like it was reptilian.
Yeah, with, like, wings and everything. And these don't have wings. They're just dogs or, you know, coyotes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would love for someone to actually spot an El Chupacabra, get it on tape, whatever. But, yeah, you know, I kind of tend to agree with these people.
Well, we had Phyllis on from the History Channel, and she had sent the specimen that she had away to a lab, but nobody's ever heard anything else about that.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe you should contact her again.
I think I will. Good idea. Yeah. I think I will.
Yeah. All right. Well, my next story. Throughout modern history, UFOs have been known to target and to literally shut down nuclear power plants around the U.S. So on December 27th of this year, the Deputy Missile Combat Crew Commander, that's the DMCCC, Robert Salas, and UFO researcher Robert Hastings will be hosting a press conference at the National Press Club addressing the issue of UFO interference with nuclear missile facilities over the years. Pretty interesting, seeing as how the U.S. military repeatedly states that it has no interest in UFOs. But according to Mr. Hastings, more than 100 Air Force nuclear weapons installation personnel have come forward with information about UFOs and nuclear power plants. So that'll be a very interesting press conference. Hopefully we'll get some dirt on that when that happens.
When is that happening?
September 27th.
Yeah. We'll have to report more on that because that's really interesting. I'd like an update on that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get more information as the weeks go on.
So stay on top of that one, Shannon.
I definitely will. I definitely will.
You're all over it.
I'm all over that one. Well, you know I love stories that link to past stories. It's a trend. First druids, now pyramids. Jess, I don't know if you heard the news I gave a few weeks ago, but was it Denmark, Amy, or was it Austria? Do you remember?
Tell me what's the story, you know?
The country that hired the druids to attempt to
control
traffic accidents.
I think it was Austria.
Yeah, okay. So they did that. And now India, okay, the sixth place in India. For centuries, pyramids have been believed to harness supernatural powers. Now the government of India is using this power to attempt to control traffic accidents.
Is this the one where they put the stuff in the road?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sorry.
So
sorry to interrupt.
No, you're quite all right. Taking a cue from Austria, traffic officers have placed a number of pyramids. Actually, they're like on the side of the roads or like where there's like a square in the middle of the road. They'll put it like in the, like a town square kind of thing or whatever on the corners. They put a number of pyramids on roads, and they started outside of town in high traffic areas where there are a lot of accidents, and the amount has lowered immensely. So now they're going to be installing more in town near other accident-prone sites. India is one of the highest traffic accident countries in the world. Just because,
really?
Like, so many people, yeah, they say that, like,
mm-hmm.
so many people are starting to drive and they don't know what they're doing. And,
oh.
yeah. So, and it's so crowded, too. So
and there's no laws, really.
Yeah, there's no laws. So, yeah, so it's one of if not the highest accident-prone country, then it is one of them. So, but these pyramids, they're about a foot tall. And they have a copper bottom, and inside are five smaller pyramids. And as in Austria, the crash strikes are supposedly the result of negative energy. That's what they said in Austria. And this Vastu expert, Sushil Fatipuria, has agreed to do this for India free of charge. And he said that he's going to energize the pyramids by transferring his positive thoughts to them. And hopes to see excellent results within the next 6 months. So good luck to him.
I have something. I think that triangles and the pyramids, there's something about those that are very mystical, and I think they do have some kind of energy flow or something. There's something about them. Although I did read something the other day about how Christians or a certain sect of Christians believe that pyramids are evil. Which I thought was so strange because they have so much energy associated with them. And, you know, that's why when I got my wedding ring, it's like people are always like, oh, that's so unique. You know, it's actually a trillion. It's a triangle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drawn to triangles, and because I think there's so much energy in them.
Well, yeah. Definitely. Geometry considered sacred because they study, it's a study of, well, mostly triangles. You know, all the angles that they study, you know, you deal a lot with triangles. And I think it's considered like a sacred study.
I think so, too. And, you know, and I'm drawn to the threes, things that happen in threes, you know, like, like 3, 6, 9, you know, even numbers that add up, like 72. I'm drawn to those, like, I'm drawn to 3 for some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm drawn to 27.
That's 9. So
9 times 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually,
if you add, if you add 7 and 2 together, that's a 9, which is a 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And actually, I learned a couple weeks ago from a friend of mine. She's studying the, she's taking a Torah class, and she's studying numbers, the book of numbers. And you're not supposed to call God God. He is supposed to be called Jehovah or El Shaddai or anything that has 3 syllables, according to the book of Numbers. Elohim.
Oh, really?
And that's why Jesus.
Jesus
is not Jesus. He is Yeshua. Yeshua. It's 3 syllables. Yep. So, yeah. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, that is neat. Because I was thinking, like, I was trying to think, like, you know, like some Mexican Jesus is Jesus, but that's 2 syllables as well, Jesus. So I don't know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
going
to be one of my craw for a while.
What?
That's one of those things that's going to stick in my craw for a while.
That's good. I like to tell people things that's going to stick in their craws.
For a while.
Oh, and Brian of Kabbalah is saying you're supposed to vibrate the names too. I'm not sure what that means. Do you girls know what that means?
Vibrate
the
name?
It has something to do with the way it's pronunciated. I could not give you an example.
Oh, you can't? Oh, come on.
Just do it on air.
Well, I'd end up spitting all over the microphone. It would be a big mess.
Ah. All right, I have 2 more stories. I'll speed through them because, wow, we have 9 minutes left. Oh, he says sing them. You're supposed to sing them. That's interesting. All right, my next story, the Shag Harbor Museum, that is somewhere over by Maine, has something to be proud of this year. Shag Harbor is the noted site of a crash of what many people believe to have been a UFO on October 4th, 1967, and attendance at the museum is up 70% this year than any other year. Yeah, and they've had a lot to overcome too, because usually there's a ferry from Maine to Yarmouth, and they don't have that this summer. And usually they have cycling tours that come through town, and they don't have those either. So even without those, their attendance has gone up 70%. People are attending the museum in droves, and it just goes to prove that, man, truth is out there, and people are seeking it, definitely. They're holding a UFO festival there August 6th and 7th of this year, and they're going to have boat rides out to the UFO crash site and a UFO symposium also during the festival, so that's going to be exciting. Actually, I don't know why I didn't put this in my story. What I read in the article was the guy that runs the museum, he actually went diving out by the crash site, and he says that there are round disc-shaped indents in the sand that looks like something like round crashed into it at one point. And he's going to go again this year, and he's going to take photos. So I think that's exciting. I don't know. Sounds a little hokey to me, but it's cool for them that, you know, they've had all that. And it's a free museum, too. They don't charge to come in.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, and they, you know, the museum, you know, attendance is up 30%. I think that's amazing for them. So, good for them and good for Americans for wanting to know more.
Well, no, I meant, like, the indentation in the sand. That sounds a little hokey.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. It could be, because you don't know what goes on down there under the water. You know, the waves might stir up the sand and make all kinds of stuff, so you don't know. I mean, if he goes back and they're still there, then we might have something to talk about. We'll see. Yeah.
Stay on top of that one.
Yeah, I will. I will. Now, my last story. Who doesn't want to lose weight nowadays? Come on. I mean, I know I would like to. You guys?
I think Jess will by any minute.
I can go for a few pounds.
Oh, okay.
I remember you seeing it on your Facebook, Amy, that you said that you wanted to start losing weight. So, well, now
I actually found two chubby buddies for me. So,
oh wow,
yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now you can lose weight safely and easily using hypnotic virtual gastric band surgery.
Oh, geez.
What?
Hypnotic virtual gastric band surgery really works. 36-year-old Emma Evely Anderton from England underwent 6 months ago this hypnosis treatment where they, like, just walk you through this painless, non-surgical virtual lap band surgery. And then he, like, talks... Boy, where's my mind tonight? I don't know. he walks you through the surgery and makes you... He walks you through the surgery. It's okay.
Oh, I'm trying to get my mind off of that. All right.
So the hypnotist will walk you through the surgery and make you think that you've just, you know, had lap band surgery. And she said that she wasn't able to eat very much afterwards, and she started having cravings for healthy foods rather than takeout, and she just started losing weight at the rate of 3 pounds a week because she had this procedure done. And then after, you know, a few weeks, she started feeling really good and energized and, you know, started jogging, and now she runs 30 minutes every morning, and she's lost 5 dress sizes in 6 months.
Well, dang it, this is what I posted about this the other day, about thinking yourself thin. This is exactly what I said. I said, you have to think yourself thin, and if you believe it, it's going to happen. So that's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when I thought myself thin, I shot myself away from my, I lost weight in the upper area as well.
Oh, man.
It worked for me, though. I did it. I convinced myself that that's what I wanted to do, and I went from, like, a 12 down to a 4.
Oh, my God.
I believe it. I believe it because when I was really into it, I lost, like, almost 10 pounds. And all you have to do is every time you eat, you affirm that it will make you a certain size, that it's energizing your body, and then you have to actually feel it. You can't just think it. You have to incorporate the thoughts into it. So you have to have that feeling of if you can reach back into a time when you were that size, that's the best thing you can do, and just feel that, how it feels.
Yep. A suggestion is everything. It's all in your head.
I think I was like 8, so I don't remember. I've been a heavy girl all my life.
Shannon, you're a pretty tall person, so you would probably want to, you know, like whatever size you want to think yourself, you know. And also, you can set goals. Like, you can say, all right, well, I'm going to think myself to this size, you know, and then once you get this size, you could probably visualize yourself being smaller, so then you can reevaluate what, you know. I got, like, crazy with it, and I let it go, slip out of my mind, and then I started trying to get too drastic. And if it's too far out of your mind's realm, if you can't ping it, if you can't, like, even fathom it, then it's not going to work. So you have to set reasonable goals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes sense because I think I'm the most attractive when I'm a size 18.
Well, see,
that sounds
that's
big
all
to
you
some
have
people.
People.
Yeah, and that sounds big to some people, but I'm very tall, and I have the kicking curves. And when I'm a size 18, I am a goddess.
Proportionate. Yeah.
Very proportionate. And
you feel good
at
that size. You
I
feel
do.
Sexy, and you feel good. So every time that you put any food into your mouth, just affirm that that's the size that it's going to make you be. And, you know, and actually it does make you want to work out. It does kind of, like, alter your, like, perception. Like, oh, hey, I'm going to, you know, like, I did my step for 30 minutes again today. You know, it kind of makes you, it gives you energy, and it kind of, like gives you ink to it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading what Brian is stating. He says he thinks it's wonderful about the food manifestations. And if you think about it, people only gain weight as they eat. They think, this is unhealthy, or I'm going to gain weight from this. That's
yep.
true. I mean, you eat a sundae,
very
and
true.
You're like, oh, my God, this is so freaking unhealthy, but I'm loving every bit of it. Yeah.
And I feel guilty about it. So why not just enjoy it and affirm that this is going to make me the size that I want to be and that it's going to convert into nutrients, calories that is going to fuel my body. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's working for me because I stopped doing it and I immediately put the weight back on and now it's starting to come off. So,
oh,
same here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good for you. Well, I started last week when I had stomach flu for 2 days. So I didn't have a single Coca-Cola for like 3 or 4 days. And I just kind of, I've had like three. I used to drink like a huge 46-ounce fountain pop every morning. Hello?
Wow. Really?
Wow. Okay. Oh, it's, I guess we're not streaming anymore.
Oh, we're not? Okay, well, let's,
congrats.
I tried to extend the show.
Eric said we
so
still
let's,
are. Eric's still
we
here.
Still, oh, because I extended the show, so hopefully tell Brian to refresh, and he should be able to hear us. So, all right, so let's go ahead and announce our announcement, and then we can go into a song and then, you know, let the show go. Who wants to announce it? You want me to? Is that... Okay,
you do it.
I
yes.
Okay. I am so pleased to announce, probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was sitting at lunch with a friend's daughter, and I got this text from Eric Dion, who is actually Jess's husband, and because we had been talking about Jess being a, no, we hadn't talked about that yet. He asked if, we hadn't talked about that yet. He asked if we were interested in moving over to ParaX Radio. And I said, yes, we were very interested in it, but we couldn't, there was no time slots open, and there was an issue with producing and whatnot. And Eric kindly said, well, there's some slots open, and let me see if I can, you know, weave my magic, and I'll be your producer. And I was like, oh, really? And I knew that Jess had been on the show before, and I said, this was like a few days later, I had this idea that I said, well, why doesn't Jess come on for the month of July and be our guest co-host? And Jess was very excited, and she said, yes, I'd love to do that. And so Jess co-hosted a couple times, and it's working out so well that Jess is going to be our other co-host, along with Shannon Overland, so we're going to alternate. It's going to be myself, Shannon, and Jess, and of course Shannon's going to be doing the Paraworld News forever because she's so good at it, but there's
yes.
going to be an alteration, and we, Parawomen Scream Radio, drum roll please, are moving over to ParaX Radio. We're going to be airing on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and starting July 20th. And our first guest will be Michelle Tomlinson. She is a Scream Queen extraordinaire, and we're really excited to have her. And so we're moving over there. So if you want to stay with Parawomen Scream Radio, and we're actually going to continue to air on Blog Talk Radio, I'll still run the shows on Thursdays, but we'll be live on Tuesdays. And so if you're interested in coming into the chat room, because PairX has a wonderful chat room, you can come in to PairX Radio, which is www.para-x.com. So that's the big news.
Woohoo! Awesome. And you said that starts this coming Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. What?
Okay. Cool.
So you're going to have three hosts, sisters with the mostesses. There will never be, like, three of us on interviewing at the same time. There, you know, when Shannon comes on to do the news, there will be three of us. But it'll either be, like, myself and Shannon, myself and Jess and Shannon, you know, that. It's not going to ever be, like, we're all three of us, because I think it gets a little confusing when there's three people interviewing one person. But we'll be rotating, and you'll get all three of us. And although Shannon has the responsibility of always doing the news, because I believe Shannon is so good at it that I don't want anyone else to do the news, and I'm sure Jess agrees.
Yes, I definitely agree.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that. So that's it. And also, the fabulous Eric Dion will be our producer, so we're excited about that.
He's a good button pusher.
Yeah. And we're going to be a one-hour format to start with. So we're going to be 1 hour, so there'll be one guest on per show. And so we'll have, you know, the format will be like the guest, radio, or music, and the news. And so I'm really happy. I think that this is a good step and a huge step for Pair Women Scream Radio.
I agree.
And people are probably wondering about Beverly, and Beverly's going to come on. She's going to kind of talk. We're not angry. We're not fighting. There's no falling out. There's just some circumstances with Beverly where she's unable to continue, and she's going to come on and talk about that. And she's welcome to come on anytime. And you know, like this happened with the other guest, the other host. But really, truly, there is no bad feelings at all. This is something that Beverly could not control. It's beyond her circumstances, and she's going to come on and talk about it. And she's welcome back anytime. So
amazing.
Yeah, we truly, dearly love Beverly Van Pelt.
Yes, we do.
So that's the news. Woohoo! Woo! Can I get a woo woo?
Woo woo! Yay!
Yay!
I'm excited.
Okay. So next week we will have Michelle Tomlinson, supersized.
Naughty
as we love her. Yes, you haven't met Michelle yet, Jess, but you're gonna love her because she is so funny. So, us and Shannon, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And next week, be looking for us. We'll also be putting that up in all our web pages. And, one more thing I wanted to tell everyone. If you haven't checked out the League of Extraordinary Women of Paranormal and Horror blog, Jess and Shannon and myself and a whole slew of other women are blogging on it. So be sure to check it out. It's www, it's very long, the League of Extraordinary Women of Paranormal and Horror.com. Check it out. It's a great blog. We've got some great people blogging on there right now. For example, there's a vampire blog that's going on there. There's Women of Villainy. I just did a Magic 8-Ball blog. So just go out there if you're interested in reading about women in paranormal and horror, and it's a great blog, and I'm proud of it, excited, and be sure to check that out. So, ladies, next week, same time, no, different time, different location.
Yes,
different that channel. Everything's different, but Thursday that week, I will definitely upload, and you will be hearing the same thing that happened on Tuesday. So the people on Blog Talk Radio will not miss out on our podcast.
Excellent.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I love you all.
Love you too, Amy.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Have a fabulous
night.
You've been listening to Para Women Radio. So for Amy Williamson, Shannon Overland, and Beverly Van Pelt, join us next week as we talk to more extraordinary women in the paranormal.